The first reading this morning is from the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your hearts turn away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Word of God, word of life. Second reading is the first book of Corinthians, chapter 3. "Brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as a spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, 'I belong to Paul,' and another says, 'I belong to Apollos,' are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building." Word of God, word of life. Please stand for the gospel.
Our gospel reading this morning is a continuation of chapter 5 from the book of Matthew. And we are just continuing on in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, just picking up right where we left off last week. So, the Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows that you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Let me start by saying that some Bible passages are painful, and sometimes they've been used to cause pain. And because of that, some passages can be painful even just to listen to. For me, passages that were used to tell me that it was against God's will for me to be a pastor because I'm a woman, even though I don't believe that, even though I don't believe that interpretation of those passages, and I know all the theological arguments to combat it, those passages still hurt when I hear them read because of how they've been used against me. This morning's gospel contains some of those loaded, painful texts that have been used to hurt, namely the verses about divorce. So I just want to name that, acknowledge that, and acknowledge that some of you may be carrying that pain from how those texts have been read or used or understood. And sometimes with texts like this, and it's harder to hear the gospel. It's harder to hear the good news. But that's always my goal when I wrestle with scripture texts before I come and preach them here to you, is to listen to where God is speaking the good news, where the Holy Spirit is at work to carry that message of life. So as I wrestled and studied with the text this week, I did start to hear good news push its way through. As I waded through the cultural context, I began to hear the life-giving word that Jesus was speaking. And the key that helped me unlock that good news was a story that my mother-in-law has told me many times, actually, which is that after she and Brett's father got divorced, she learned the lectionary, and she knew when these texts would be read from any of the Gospels, and she did not come to church that day for years. And it breaks my heart that during a time in her life that I know she was struggling and that she was in most need of the love and support of community, she instead felt shame and judgment and condemnation and therefore stayed away from that community. That story, that example, was the key that cracked open the whole text for me, because in this passage, Jesus is talking about what community looks like in the kingdom of heaven, what relationships look like. So, does it look like shaming a single mom with two young children? Is that what the kingdom of heaven looks like? Or does it look like loving support and encouragement for someone who's struggling? I think when we put it that way, the obvious answer comes, I mean, it's not even a question, right? We all can see where the kingdom of God is to be found in loving and caring for one another. So this becomes the key that makes it clear, because it forces us to read these difficult words through the lens of Jesus's call to love our neighbor as ourselves. Like I said, Jesus is teaching here about what the kingdom of heaven looks like, about what relationship looks like within God's kingdom. And just like last week, Jesus uses extreme language to emphasize this point, to underline and bold print and italicize what he's saying. And what Jesus is saying is that the way things are here on earth, the way things are amongst us, is not the way God wants them to be. And so he points to the law, to the Torah. And keep in mind, the law as they understood it was a gift from God. Just like it says in our reading from Deuteronomy, the law was meant to be the source of a good life for the people. It was meant to be guidance on how to live our life together in a way that reflects God's love. But, Jesus says, that the law is just a foundation. What God imagines for us, the life that God imagines for God's people, and the relationships that God imagines for God's people requires us to be better to one another, to do better. So he says, "You have heard it said that you shall not murder. But I say to you, that's not enough." Jesus says, that doesn't get us where God wants us to be. Not only shall we not murder, but we should be kind to one another even when we're angry. We should reconcile and mend our relationships with one another rather than just holding grudges or taking one another to court. We have to realize that our words can damage, can hurt. So calling someone fool, name-calling and slander and using our words as weapons, all of these are against what it is that God wants for our communities. So you shall not murder? That's a pretty low bar, right? On how we treat one another. That's a pretty low bar. We need to do better. We need to extend that respect for life, extend that kindness and care and respect to all aspects of our relationships, how we treat one another and how we speak to one another. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But Jesus says, that's a pretty low bar. I need you to do better. Jesus extends the call for respect not just to our actions, but to our thoughts and how we look at one another. Though it's interesting to note here that Jesus is speaking only to the men in this category, the heterosexually assumed men, he speaks of the men looking at women with lust as another form of adultery, and divorcing your wife as sinful. And the reason these issues are only being addressed to the men in the crowd is because in both cases, Jesus is calling out abuse of power. In the time and place where Jesus was speaking, men had all the power. Jesus does not ask women to change their behavior or the way they look or the way they dress or act in order to control men's lustful thoughts. The church fathers do that later, but Jesus does not. Jesus holds the men accountable for the way they looked at women. And he says that the objectification, the way they were looking at women, is a problem. And in the divorce passage, it's men who were discarding their wives. It was men, again, in this relationship who had all the power and who had the ability and the right in this culture and in this time and place to divorce their spouse, their wife who was dependent on them. So Jesus here is calling out this abuse of power. Jesus speaks only to the men because in those relationships, in this time and place, they were the ones that had all the power. The law is meant for life. The law is meant to prevent abuse, to prevent oppression. So if we are using the law instead to wield power over, to further abuse, to take advantage of those with less power, then we're not upholding the law at all. And Jesus gets really mad about that later on in Matthew. This idea of using the law for our own gain, to gain power, to step on others, to oppress others. Jesus gets really angry about that because that is the opposite of what God's law was meant to do. It was meant to protect human well-being. It was meant to protect human relationships. It was meant to protect those who were the most vulnerable. With each of the examples that Jesus gives, Jesus is teaching that God's kingdom is a place where life is found for all people. God's kingdom is a place where all are protected and cared for, and we need to take this seriously. We need to not just settle for not murdering one another. Worrying only about what is legal is a low bar. Instead, we are called to follow God's call to a better life, into a better community where all are cared for. And if God's law isn't leading to life, if it isn't protecting the vulnerable and lifting up those who've been oppressed, then it is no longer God's law, but has been twisted by our brokenness. Even in Scripture, we see that the law gets twisted at times. Jesus calls it out when he sees people not getting healed because it's against the law. Where people aren't allowed to harvest grain and eat when they're hungry on the Sabbath because it is against the law. Whenever the law is used in a way that hurts others rather than in a way that protects and uplifts, that, in fact, is not God's law. That is human sinfulness. This was a hard week for my family. Speaking of unjust laws, there were some very harmful laws proposed here in Nebraska that would directly hurt my family, that discriminated and targeted trans youth. Laws that were based in fear rather than fact, and that would harm some of the most vulnerable in our community. And that is only one example of people being discriminated against by laws that were not actually serving the purpose of protecting, but instead are used to oppress and discriminate. It happened in Scripture, it happens in our government today. But always, Jesus says, God's law is meant to protect and uphold the vision that God has, the beautiful imagining that God has of what our relationships can be, of what our life together in community can be, which is a life of mutual support and love and care for one another. This is the good news, that God desires loving and respectful relationships for us. God desires a community where all are cared for. That is what the kingdom of God looks like. And that is the life and the community that Jesus calls us into, calls us to build up together. Thanks be to God. Amen.